here tonight in the evening service. Him and his family have been a great blessing to me down through the years. I'm very appreciative of the Hamby family. Love them dearly. For those of you who have never met the Hambys or before, or never heard them speak, Brother Hamby and his wife served as missionaries to the Ivory West Coast for a number of years. I think it was around 10 years, 10 or 12 years. And now he is the assistant director at Macedonia World Baptist Missions. And him and Miss Karen, they travel around just being a blessing to missionaries and being able to preach across the nation, across the world, really. So before Brother Hamby comes and preaches, though, we've got a special this morning. So ladies, if you would come on up, and then Brother Hamby, just as soon as they're done, pulpit's yours. Thank you.
What a great song. Sometimes we forget that we are pilgrims and we are strangers in this world. And sometimes we want to feel a little bit too much at home here. But aren't you glad for the day that we are going to go home and be with the Lord? It's a great, great, great hope that we have as a child of God. And it is a blessed hope. And so I'm so glad of that. I appreciate getting to be back here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. It's always a joy. The A team is gone. The B team, so you've left with me. I'm more like a shoestring that has been broken and flopping on the foot. But it is a joy to get to be here with you. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter number 5, the book of Mark chapter number 5. We've had a great few days at our house. Our son Jason and his family are down. They went to Pensacola, a teen extreme. And they just got back Friday, and they're heading back to Quebec here in, I guess it's on Tuesday morning early, but we've enjoyed getting to see them for just a little bit. Don't get to see them very often, but it is always good to get to see your kids and your grandkids and appreciate what God's doing in their lives. Well, I hope you've had a good summer so far. It has been a warm summer, been a kind of a wet, dry, kind of a off and on kind of thing, but I hope you've had a good summer so far, and school's going to be starting up, and all the kids would say amen to that here in just a few days. It seems to me like, now I don't know about you, we used to get out in May and didn't start till after Labor Day. I mean, we had a real good vacation, and you kids must be awfully good. The teachers love you so much that they want you to keep coming back, because it seems like they keep cutting it down. I mean, is it starting like the August 1st, somewhere along there? Good night. Either that or your parents are paying more to keep you away. I'm not sure what it is, but that may be it. Well, Mark chapter number 5, we have a wonderful passage of Scripture here this morning. I wish we had time to preach the whole chapter because there's some wonderful truths that we find here in the chapter. And we're going to mention a few of those as we think about the text that we're going to read. But you've heard about, and some of you parents may be thinking when I read the passage here in just a moment, well, that sounds just like my son, or that sounds just like my daughter. We're going to talk about the maniac of Gadara. And so if your child is resembling that person there, maybe we can be a help to them today. But we're going to look at that story today. What a sad, tragic story if you think about it. Now, as missionaries in Africa, we did see some people that were truly demon-possessed, had a lot of things over there that you saw that people hear about, but we actually got to see them and some different things, witch doctors and all those kind of issues. But it is real. But we're not going to be dealing with that this morning. We're just going to be looking at the man and how the Lord helped him. That's what we're going to be dealing with today, and hope that we can be a blessing to you. Sometimes I think that we get too interested in demonic activity to the point where we want to think about Ouija boards and all these things that I think we need to stay away from, and all kinds of delving into witchcraft and wanting to know about these things. I think it's very dangerous. We have to be very careful. But aren't you glad that at the same time we have a God in heaven that's able to deliver? No matter how deep a person is in sin, God is able. So would you stand with me? We're going to read just a few verses. The text that we would be dealing with, or we will deal with, the whole context, we'll go from verse 1 down to verse number 20. But we're only going to read the first 5 verses, and then we'll share some verses out of the other part of that, and hope we'll be a blessing to you. Verse number 1 says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories that you have inspired for us to have today, to be able to read them and learn from them and see the great power of God in the life of one that is in such need. And I pray that you'd help us all. You know every heart. You know every need. You know every person's life and the heart cry of all of us. And I pray that you'd have your way today as we bring the message. I do pray that you would be with Pastor Jennings as he's preaching there in New York. Would you bless the team, the group that's there? Would you give souls this week as they labor diligently? May your will be done. May you do a great and mighty work. Thank you for the good Sunday school lesson that we heard today on the book of Daniel. And Father, for all that you do today in every heart and every life, from the songs that were sung, from the message that will be preached, and all that's done already, would you please have your way today? And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me give a little plug for Sunday school. I love Sunday school. I think Sunday school is important. And if you're not in Sunday school, you ought to come. And I don't know about the other classes, but Brother Dan Bachman did a tremendous job as he taught. And he just gave an overview of the book of Daniel. And boy, he crammed a lot in to that overview. And I sure did enjoy that. And I hope you'll be in Sunday school. It's a good time to learn God's word and the time where you can ask questions. In the preaching hour, it'd be kind of awkward to be you asking questions while I'm trying to preach or the preacher's trying to preach. But in Sunday school, it's a time where you can learn more slow, easy, verse by verse over books and parts of the scripture. So I would encourage you to be in Sunday school, and all the Sunday school teachers, you will owe me $5 after the service for that bit of a commercial for you. Well, as I mentioned just a moment ago, what a remarkable chapter we have here in Mark chapter number 5. And there are basically three stories that you're going to find in the chapter. You're going to find these stories overlap just a little bit as you go through them. And you're going to find in this chapter, as you look at the people that are here, the differences in their lives. You're going to see here, as we just read about the maniac, and we didn't really get into too much of him in detail, but you're going to find one of the worst and most feared kind of a person here in this chapter. You'll find a woman who had a great need, and then you'll find a young lady, I think she was around 12 years of age, and so you're going to see the whole spectrum of age and of needs that you find from one story to the next story. As I read in the chapter, you're going to find also something I think is very interesting, is how he shows us in the chapter how people come to the Lord and how people know about the Lord. I think about the young lady of 12 years of age, and I love this. Here was a dad and a mom that loved their daughter so greatly. And remember that these were physical needs and physical problems that they were having, but I liken them to how we have a need of a Savior because of our sin problem that we have. But here was this young lady at the end of the chapter, the last story of how this young lady, she was so sick. She was actually sick, and in the end of the story, she was going to die. But here we have a mom and dad that loved their daughter so much that they wanted to have Jesus touch her. They would bring the Lord to where she was to give her the help that she needed. And I appreciate so much a mom and dad that love God so much and love their children so much that they're going to do what they can to make sure that there is a wonderful meeting between the Lord Jesus Christ and their child. And I think it's awesome that we would keep our children under the sound of the gospel in church and doing what we can as a parent to make sure our children know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I believe that is the obligation of every parent, that they would, their children would know the Lord. We see the next story where this lady herself, and sometimes it is that way, where a person, they see the need that they have, and actually in that story, the woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, and so she knew she had a need, and she had done everything that she could to get better, but she did not. and we see her on her own coming to the Lord. And sometimes it's that way. I remember for me, I was an 18-year-old. I had been under conviction for about a year, and I was invited to go to a revival meeting, understood the gospel. I had heard it many, many times, but I understood the gospel for the first time as a 17-year-old, and as an 18-year-old, I was saved, but none of my family was in church, so I got in my car, and I went to church. And I want you to know this morning, though you may not know anybody in this church, you may be a first-time visitor, and you came on your own seeking something, I got in my car one time, August the 1st, 1971, as an 18-year-old, got in my car on my own, went to that church full of strangers, and I'm so glad that day that I went, and that was the day that I met the Lord. So sometimes it is that way when you're seeking and you need help from God and you come to church. But then in the story that we have, this very first story that we're going to deal with, it's a different way that we see what happened here. We find that the Lord Jesus himself is going to go to where that person was. This person did not know the Lord. Matter of fact, none of those people in that area knew the Lord. Nobody knew the Lord, but the Lord himself made that initiative to go to where they were. And aren't you glad that God is able to do that? Aren't you glad that no matter where you are in your life, no matter where you are physically, aren't you glad that God is able to come to where you are with the Word of God, and he is there to meet your need? Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But this is the outline of the entire book, differences but yet similarities of people that need the Lord and coming to people in their different parts of their life and who they were in their fragile lives and the fierceness of life and all that they were. God came to them to meet their need. And aren't you glad that he did? Well, let's look at the story of the maniac for just a little bit and we'll be done. I got 3 points. Like I always tell you every time I come, 3 hairs, 3 points. I am looking for the day I can have a 25-point mess outline to preach. Boy, that would be glorious, and hallelujah for that. Well, first of all, I want you to notice with me as we read these verses of Scripture, the maniac's chains, his chains, and his master. This to me is absolutely important. It says in verse number 2, and when he was come out of the ship, speaking of the Lord Jesus, when he was come out of the ship, look at this now, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Look at this man. When you look down into verse number 4, it says there that they would try to bind this man. And this man was almost like a superman. When they would bind him with fetters and chains, he would break them. But when I think about this man and his master and the chains that they try to hold him with, I think about how that is truly the way it is with so many people. Do you know what we want to be? Every one of us want to be the master and controller of our own life. And may I tell you, that is a lie that the devil is going to give us all, because we are not the master of our own life. When I look at this story, this man might have started out and said, hey, I think I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When in the end, he did not end up being the master of his own life. Far from it. We find, as the story tells us here, that this man was controlled and possessed by unclean spirits or demons. Now, let me tell you this morning, you don't have to be possessed as this man was to be controlled by Satan. Satan can direct your life by the thoughts and things that come your way, temptations of life that would move you to do things that you should not do. And I want you to know tonight or today that the devil, he is a taskmaster. I think about the men and women down in Egypt, those Jewish people that went down to Egypt. And before long, after their time in Egypt, and they were in the best place in Egypt. Everything was wonderful when they first got there. Joseph was there. Man, they got the best part of all of it. But before long, you know what happened? They became the slaves in Egypt. And so this master that he had, and we see his dwelling. We see what this master, where he took him. Can I tell you what sin will do? The master of sin and the master of Satan will take you to places that you should never go, thinking, man, this is wonderful. The pleasures that the devil's going to give me are wonderful and glorious. But may I tell you, before long, your dwelling will be among the tombs. Everything about you will lead you to death because he will promise you life, but you will end up in death. End up in death. I think about not only the tombs, but I look at the torment of this man. When I follow down through the scripture, look with me in verse number 5. And always, night and day. Can you imagine night and day, never having any rest? Now, I try to get about 20 hours of sleep a day. They say that is beauty rest, that I'm working on it, really am, you know. But can you imagine night and day never having any peace, any rest? I know that a lot of people like to stay up late, and there's a lot of entertainment games and things people do, things like that. But can you imagine that this man had no peace, no rest? He was constantly cutting himself. He was constantly trying to find some way that he could find a rest from the torment of these demons. His master had promised him life, but he was leading him to death. This master had promised him freedom, but he had given him slavery. And can I tell you what had happened with the chains and the fetters? When I read the story, the only thing that this man had to wear for any kind of a semblance of what his master gave to him were the scars. My mind goes to a young man that I knew when he was probably about a year old. First time I met him, his mom and dad I've known for many, many years. So the first time I knew this young man, he was just a little baby. And this young man was one of the most brilliant young men that you would ever meet. Matter of fact, he was hired by the number one architectural firm in the state where they live. Number one, straight out of high school. And I get this, kids, or young people rather, he was homeschooled. Okay, people put down homeschooled kids. Homeschooled, the number one architectural firm in the entire state hired him straight out of high school, was paying his way to college. His life was laid out for him, and I'm going to tell you, it was nothing but glorious and wonderful until all of a sudden he meets a guy there that is the wrong kind of a person. Now, this young man that I know, his mom and his dad was a pastor. He was raised in a preacher's home, a godly home. But this young man's problem was that even though he went to church, every time the doors were open, he himself never trusted Christ as his own personal Savior. And so this young man, as he has this job and he gets in with the wrong crowd. Now let's fast forward from the age of 18 to now the age of 36. This young man, right after he got into that job and was working there 2 or 3 years and everything was going so wonderfully, all of a sudden this young man got into drugs and alcohol. This young man today, his body is totally covered in tattoos. This young man's mind is burnt up because of meth and alcohol. This young man has had children out of wedlock. This young man has been in prison so many times. He tells people that it doesn't bother me, doesn't scare me. I know the system. I can get out again. This young man's life that had such promise and such fulfillment has now ended in absolute ruin. Can I tell you this morning that sin has a price? And I want you to know, when you dabble in sin and when you play with sin, you will ultimately pay the price. Because the master of sin is the master manipulator. The master of sin knows more about it than you and I know about it. And he can lead us down a road that we never thought we would ever find ourselves. Yeah, it happens to them, but it'll never happen to me. And that is the way the devil plays the game. And this man, think about it. This man was born into a home, normal life, going his own way, and something happened to him. And may I say this morning, it can happen to you today, because this master is one that has power beyond what you and I can imagine, and he can control a life, his chains, and his master. Number two, I want you to notice with me, the maniac's chance and is meeting. Now, when I use the word chance, I'm not talking about luck. God does not deal in luck. God does not deal in coincidence and accidents. God deals in opportunities. Now, I've already mentioned about my opportunity, but aren't you glad that God is a God of opportunity? Aren't you glad that God is a God of mercy and grace? I don't know where you were. If you're saved today, I don't know where you were when you got saved. I don't know the depth of sin you were in when you got saved. But aren't you glad that God gave you an opportunity to hear the gospel? Aren't you glad that somebody came to where you were, whether they knocked on your door or your mom and dad, they drug you to church or whatever the situation was. Aren't you glad that somehow or other the gospel came to you and gave you the opportunity for you to be saved? I think about this man and the chance that he had and this opportunity that was given to him to have a meeting. Now remember, he was across the Sea of Galilee. Here in this region, they didn't know the Lord. All the Lord's activity was on the other side of the sea and that great expanse of water that was between them. But all of a sudden now, we find the Lord making the journey across the sea, and here he finds himself in direct confrontation with this man. Oh, what a meeting. But can I tell you, when I see this story happening, and I'm not going to go through all the verses of Scripture, but we know how the Lord cast the demon out of this man. And we know when we come down to verse number 15, when they come and they behold the man, they see him as clothed. We see him seated, and we see him in his right mind. Now, I'm not sure I've got to the last one yet. I'm trying to get there to be in my right mind, but I'm not there yet. But can I share with you a couple things that I love about this? Did you know that the Lord Jesus did what nobody else could do? Nobody else could do it. When I think about the chains that he had upon him and would break those chains, you know what? They couldn't even restrain him. The Lord Jesus, what he did was what medicine couldn't do. They couldn't put enough Ritalin in his body. They couldn't bring enough doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists. They couldn't give him enough rituals. They couldn't give him enough religion to do anything to help him. But the Lord came, and when the Lord was there, he did what nobody else could do. Imagine. His own mom and dad couldn't help him. Nobody around him could help him. They did everything they possibly could, but nobody could do anything for him. But the Lord did. Have you ever asked yourself the question, when you see the story there, where did he get his clothes? I mean, there wasn't a Walmart in town. Where did this man get his clothes? He was naked until the time the Lord came. Where did he get his clothes? Can I tell you what I believe? I believe the clothes came from the Lord Jesus himself. I'm glad that when I get saved, you know the difference in me and you. If you're not saved, you say, well, preacher, I don't know the Lord. I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Do you know the difference in me and you besides me being better looking than you? Other than that, it's being clothed in His righteousness. It's not because a person does better. It's not because a person looks better. It's not because a person goes to church. The difference is being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That is my difference. And I want you to know what he did, nobody else could do. And so can you imagine when they come out and they see this crazy man, all of a sudden now he's seated at the feet of Christ and he's clothed in his right mind. How in the world could that have happened? And why? Because he could do it. I'm glad that I'm dealing with the all-powerful God of heaven. He can do what nobody else could do. But can I tell you something else? He did what nobody else would do. I was talking about my son being home, and my grandson told me, he said that they're feeding the children throughout Canada, they're feeding them Ritalin and all this medication, and they're bringing them, and they're just almost like little zombies sitting there in class because, you know what, the teachers don't want to fool with them. Can I tell you that the Lord Jesus did what nobody else would do? Because I believe when I look at the story of this man, the reason they were chaining him, he was a bother to them. They couldn't even go out and have a peaceful moment in the cemetery. They couldn't go out and eat. They couldn't do anything. And here is this guy showing up. And he was a bother to him. So if we can just restrain him, if we can just get rid of him, if something could just happen to him, he would make our life a whole lot easier. But they couldn't do it. And the only reason they were going to do anything is because they wanted rid of this guy. They wanted rid of him. But can I tell you, he didn't only do what nobody else could do. He did what nobody else would do, because when they wanted him gone, the Lord Jesus wanted him saved. As a matter of fact, when I go back up to chapter number 4, did you know it? Notice in verse number 35 of chapter number 4, the Lord Jesus, they get in a ship and they go across the sea. Can I tell you what the Lord Jesus did just for this one man? Because there wasn't a whole bunch of people saved. One man was saved. And when I look at that chapter 4, I see that the Lord Jesus, number one, got in a ship and made a journey. He took time out of his busy schedule and out of his ministry, go across the sea. But not only that, you know what he did? He put his own disciples in harm's way. Man, that boat was going to sink. That flood was coming. I mean, the storm was coming. And the Lord Jesus did everything that needed to be done to make sure that this one man could be saved. Can I tell you, that's why missionaries go. That's why people go. That's why people knock on your door. That's why your preacher's in New York with that group of people up there. So somebody could know the Lord. So somebody can be saved. He did what nobody else could do, but he didn't what nobody else would do. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Because he didn't see this man as a bother. He saw him as a man that needed Christ, that needed saved. And so this chance was a meeting, an opportunity to have a meeting with the Lord of glory. Number three, the maniac's change and his message. The change that happened to him wasn't progressive. You know, they have 1 and 2 and 3, 4 step programs. And so you start the program on the bottom and you work your way through the program. And by the end of the program, then hopefully you're going to not be an alcoholic anymore. Or hopefully you won't be a drug addict anymore. Or hopefully something is going to happen by the time you go through all the steps of the program. Can I tell you what the Lord Jesus does for you? What he does for you is a work of grace that is instantaneous. Your life is forever changed. It is forever changed. I think when the pigs went into the sea and were drowned, think of all that bacon is gone. You know? But anyway, that's another point there. But when all the pigs were drowned and these people went into the city and they tell the people in the city, we want you to know, look what has happened. And they come out. This man wasn't going, he wasn't working toward having a right mind, and he wasn't working toward being clothed. And this man was changed instantly. Can you imagine what happened? And so I see that his change caused a reaction. Now think about it for just a second. The greatest power that these people in that area knew was the maniac. They would put chains on him and he'd break them. They couldn't do a thing with him. And all of a sudden, here is a stranger that comes over in this little ship. He gets out, and in an instant, in one meeting, one time, here's this crazy man that nobody could help. All of a sudden, he's changed. So you know what that means? That means that this stranger has got more power than this man. Now think about it. This man who has tormented us and bothered us, what's this stranger going to do to us if he's got more power than this one? Can you imagine the change that has happened to him? But when I look at this story, can I tell you there's a message that goes along with this change? When I follow the story, would you look with me at around verse number 18? Verse number 17, rather. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, and by the way, why would they want him out of the coast? Well, maybe they were mad because the pigs all got drowned. I don't know. But they wanted him out of the coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. There are three secrets that are in this chapter. There is a secret that had to do with the little girl that was raised from the dead. And the secret was, you don't tell anybody what I have done. Don't tell anybody. So that secret was concealed. When you come to the woman with the issue of blood and how she touched the hem of his garment, and the Lord, he said, who touched me, and he made this woman come, and she had a secret. You know what her secret was? Her secret was she had a plague that had her separated from everybody, and the Lord had her tell her story. So her secret was exposed of what she was. But here we have another secret. And you know what the secret is? Who is this stranger? They didn't understand him. They didn't know him. They didn't understand what had happened. All they know is we don't want this man around us. We don't understand it. So this here's this maniac. He's healed now. He is. I can't call him a maniac anymore. He's a believer. He's a Christian. Now this man, he wants to follow the Lord. Can I tell you one of the greatest signs that a person has that he's truly saved? Can I tell you what it is? They want to follow the Lord. When this man's life was changed, he wanted to be with the one that had changed him. And that is a perfect sign of what God has done, or that God has done something in somebody's life, because they just want to be with the Lord. So here, what he does, he follows the Lord down to the ship. They don't want him there, so he's going to leave. He goes down to the ship. He's going to get in the ship with the Lord. And the Lord said, no. See, sometimes we think that following the Lord means I'm going to go to some monastery on top of some mountain. I'm going to sit there, or I'm going to live 24 hours a day at church in the building itself, The Lord said, no, you don't come with me, but you go home and tell your friends. See, this secret was about a person. They didn't know who the person was. All they knew is this man's got some more kind of power that could take this man and change him and kill all our pigs. We don't understand it, but this man's got power. Who is this man? We don't know this man. So they thought, well, the best thing for us to do is just get rid of him since we don't know him. And that's the way it is with a lot of people. They just assume, I don't understand, so just get rid of him. So the message, the secret, is for this man to go and tell about this person. I love this. He said, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to go tell them about what God, about what Christ has done for you. Remember, I told you, he got in a ship. He came across the sea. They were in a storm. The disciples thought they were going to lose their lives. But he did it all just for that man. Go tell them what God has done for you. And can I tell you, when you are truly born again by the grace of God, when He's truly changed your life, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, can I tell you, you have got a story of amazing grace that God did in your life. What do? I go home and tell my family. Dean Hamby got in his old car. It wasn't really old. I was brand new. I like to, want to beef up the story. I had this old car. I didn't have any shoes. I had shoes and I had a car. But you know what I did the day that he saved me? I got in my car and went home and I began to share with my family. Because you know what I found? I found the people that know you best are also going to notice the change more than anybody else. If I walk up and knock on a door and say, I'm Dean Hamby, I'm going to tell you about it. They don't know anything about me. But my family knows about me. Here comes this guy, and his whole body, he doesn't have marks of tattoos on his body, but he's got the scars of the chains on his body. And he goes home and knocks on the door, and they look at this man, and he's not crazy. He's not foaming at the mouth. He's not got chains hanging off him. His man is clothed and in his right mind. And what in the world happened to you? Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you what Christ did for me. Let me tell you something. They may not all get saved, but you will have made an impact on their life. You. But for me, my family got saved. It didn't happen all at once, but one by one they started getting saved. Can I tell you, when you give your life to Christ and want to follow Him, see, He didn't follow Him in the ship, but by Him going home, He was following the Lord. By coming to church, I'm following the Lord. By being a witness to my friends, I'm following the Lord. By reading the Word of God, I'm following the Lord. By praying, I'm following the Lord. I follow the Lord by my daily life of obedience. And by my daily life of obedience, I'm pointing people to the one who saved me, the one that changed my life. Go tell them what great things God have done for you. But not only that, he said, I want you to go and tell how God had compassion on you. I love the word compassion, but I also love the word passion. You know, when you got a passion about something, it just eats you up. It eats you up. It eats you alive. When you got a passion, man, you eat and sleep and drink it. I got to do this. This is my life. Can I tell you, it happened to me August the 1st, 1971. When I found out there was one in heaven that loved me more than anybody could ever love me. So much that he came into this world and took the initiative to leave heaven's glory, to come into this world and die upon an old rugged cross for me. Can I tell you, that got a hold of my heart. And no, he did it for me. Loved me so much. He said, I want you to go tell them the great things he's done for you, but I want you to tell them how he loved you. An old maniac, an old crazy man, a man that was fit for nothing, that was worse than a dog. Yeah, he loves you. And everybody in this building, aren't you glad? He loves you. And he loves you. And he loves you. And there's not, listen, some people think, oh, I'm just too bad for him to, you cannot be too bad. Because we got a little girl, just an innocent little girl. He loved her. We got a woman that was sick for 12 years. He loved her. But man, I like the story where you got a man that is fit for nothing. Nothing. He loved him. No one is excluded from the love of God. No one is excluded. And so the message, the story, the secret is how he does great things. By the way, he doesn't do anything but great things. Everything he does is great and awesome and wonderful and marvelous. And he does it not because we're a bother to him. Not because, hey, I just can't stand looking at him. No, he does it because he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And so, what a wonderful and glorious story of who he is, what he does, and how he loves me. The maniac changed by the glorious grace of God. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a